tune and go up off the rim.
Oh, yeah.
Our very own Skywalker, Elissa Walker-Campbell. As she gets you ready for the 2011 NBA Finals with some of the biggest names in the game.
The Western Company of Texas is the premier oil field water transfer service in the Bakken, Barnett, Fayetteville, Haynesville, and Woodward Shale, basically all the shale plays. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible to meet all your water transfer needs. With over 100 miles of water transfer pipe and over 90 high-capacity pumps on hand, they're ready to go to work on your next water transfer job 24/7, even with the most demanding timelines. Their employees log over 430,000 hours a year laying pipe in some of the roughest terrain with zero delays and zero excuses. Give their team a call at 682-831-9300. That's 682-831-9300. Or online at wct.us.com.
You don't want to miss the Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, and we are coming to you from Fort Worth, where the celebration continues after the Dallas Mavericks take care of business in Game 5 on Wednesday night. They close out the series with the Oklahoma City Thunder after another impressive fourth quarter rally and have now punched their ticket to the NBA Finals. It is always a pleasure to welcome back to our show our main guy that helps keep us plugged in and connected to the Dallas Mavericks, and that is their television play-by-play announcer, Mr. Mark Folliwell, who, oh, by the way, he's been working overtime, and I'm certain that you are feeling the residual effects of all the excitement and the lack of sleep that you're getting, right, Mark?
You know, it's been a lot of fun, and I've really, really enjoyed it, and obviously, the entire city is enjoying it. There's certainly an energy about things right now because everyone has got a good case of Mavs fever, Elissa, and that's a great thing.
Well, we do want to send out our congratulations to you. It seems like just all the pieces of the Mavs mosaic continue to fall into place. It really has been an incredible postseason run. Mark, how do you summarize or just quantify what this team has been able to accomplish? Because there are so many highlights.
Oh, gosh, we could go on for a long time about that. But to me, you know, what stands out about this thing is that there were a lot of people who didn't have, outside of it, of course, not inside of it, but outside of it, who didn't have a whole lot of faith in this thing going into the playoffs. If you'll remember, Elissa, the Mavericks were the team that a lot of people said were primed for a first-round exit. They were primed to be the high seed that gets upset by a lower seed in the first round. And I think that, you know, that's just, you know, the fact that this thing came together the way it did. That, to me, is what is so interesting and exciting about it, is that you have a group of people who all have had their trials and tribulations in this league and who have had great careers but are looking for that last thing to cement their legacy and have that sort of defining moment of their career, and that's winning a championship. And it starts with Hall of Fame player and Dirk, one of the greats to ever play this game, but that's the one thing he's missing. Jason Kidd, Hall of Fame player, again, one of the greats to ever play this game, the one thing that he's missing. And then you've got all these accomplished veterans, Marion, Peja, Jason Terry, Tyson Chandler, guys who have had really, really good careers. I mean, between Marion and Peja, we're talking about 7 All-Star games, a former Sixth Man of the Year in Jason Terry. Tyson Chandler doesn't necessarily have the hardware and the All-Star game appearances, but he has had a nice career. And we're talking about a lot of people who are veterans who have been in this league a long time, who have done a lot of great things, and now are all pulling on the rope together to win a championship ring. So that, to me, is what sort of defines this run, is that it's just a group of veteran players who have been around a long time, and they are all pulling on the rope together because they want to win a title, and it's been really, really neat to watch.
Mark, flip back the calendar. Take us back to the month of September, entering into training camp. I mean, it seems like you've always been confident that, as you said, a veteran team, they would be able to get to this point. It is surprising that there has been so many folks that have second-guessed this team and what they would be able to do in the end.
Well, I think that the second-guessing comes from a lot of past playoff failure. I mean, keep in mind, Elissa, that going into this year, when you look at the Mavericks over the last 4 years, they'd lost to the first round 3 times, Golden State in 07, New Orleans in 08, San Antonio last year in 2010, and then you want to go back one more year, of course, you have the sting and the pain of the 2006 finals loss to Miami. So, you know, those are the reasons that fueled the skepticism in the Mavericks going into things. And I think that, you know, people looked at Dallas and saw that they really didn't change their team much from last year. The one thing that the Mavs did of significance in the offseason was add Tyson Chandler, but I think that move was certainly met with a lot of critics, or at least skeptics probably you would say, because Chandler has been hurt a lot for the last two seasons coming into this year. He played a total of 96 games between a year with New Orleans and a year with Charlotte. So I think that probably were the reasons that fueled the skepticism, is it was a team coming off another first-round exit that didn't drastically change its look, and I think that's why. But you know what? They showed up at training camp. They all may have been a year older, but they were working hard. Rick Carlisle preached defense from the very first day of training camp. I think that was really an important thing in this thing, is that he established from the beginning that if they're going to get better and they're not going to be bounced in the first round again, what they've got to do is get better defensively. And he cited the scores of the finals last year between Boston and the Lakers, and just that that's where they needed to be if they wanted to win a championship. And that message was preached from the first day of training camp, and it's a message and it's a belief in playing defense that's carried them this far.
It has been a memorable season. The Dallas Mavericks are headed to the NBA Finals. We are visiting and going one-on-one with Mark Folliwell, the Mavs television play-by-play announcer, and kind of dissect the series. I mean, you take a look back at Portland, the Lakers, Oklahoma City. In your mind, was the Thunder the most dangerous team? Because it seemed like many times it was throughout these games, it was just survival of the fittest, and especially when you're facing such exceptional scorers in Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
Oh, no question. Oklahoma City was very, very tough. And look, those games, all of them came right down to the end. I mean, there were no blowouts. They were games that were all decided, in essence, in the last 2 minutes. The you know, the game one victory, the Mavericks needed a dagger three from Jason Terry with about 30 seconds to go to make sure they had put it out of reach. Oklahoma City had a game that was up and down until the final 30 seconds in game two. Game three, the Mavericks are clinging to a lead late. Game four, of course, with the incredible comeback. And game five, the Mavs trailed for probably, I think the final numbers would say they probably ended up trailing about 22 out of the 24 minutes of the second half of that game. So Oklahoma City, look, put up a great, great fight. You know, the Mavs, I think, won the series for one of the reasons I thought they would going into it, and that is that in late-game situations, the Mavericks' veteran presence, their ability to execute, proved to be just a tiny, tiny difference that was required to win the series. You know, these games have such a small margin for error, and it's a handful of plays typically late that decide it. And the Mavericks were able to make the plays that they needed to make in four of the five games to come out of there and win the series. But every game went down to the final minute or two before being decided, and it was truly something to see a series play out like that. It was a high-wire act, and the Mavericks had just a little bit better balance in the crucial situations, and are moving on to the finals because of it.
Mark, what does that say about the character of this team? You know, just that unwavering belief, kind of Tug McGraw, you got to believe. I mean, they never gave up. They play hard. They play together. I mean, it certainly says a lot to the intangibles of this team and just how unselfish they are.
Well, I certainly appreciate a Tug McGraw reference. I'm glad that, you know, you and I get that.
Yes.
Some of our listeners may not remember back to the great closer of the Phillies back in the late 70s and early 80s. But, you know, character is something that gets tested in these things. And if you don't have strong character, and if you're not persistent, if you don't have a belief in yourself and your teammates and your system, you're not going to win these games. And the Mavericks have all of those things. You know, they're battle-tested, they're battle-scarred. And I think that's something that really matters a lot at the end of these games. And, you know, sometimes I think people think that experience is overrated. I think that there are NBA fans out there who would much rather have the young, unknown quantity who's capable of rising up and having a huge game rather than just a consistent veteran. And, you know, hey, look, youth is great, but, you know, for these playoff games, when it gets down to winning time, love having the team that's got guys who have been there and done that and just have had some success in games like this before. Even though nobody on this team has won a championship, you are talking about Kidd, Dirk, and Terry have all been to the NBA Finals before multiple times. For Kidd, this will be his third appearance in the Finals. Dirk and Jed will each be going there for their second time. And so that, you know, I do think there is something to be said about that, said for that, that, you know, you've got character and persistence and belief that in the last 5 minutes of the game, you're going to be able to make enough plays to pull the game out, and that's obviously something the Mavericks have.
Mark, the focal point and at the forefront of many of Mavs fans' minds is Dirk Nowitzki, at times just a one-man show. I guess it's not surprising that we're hearing national media drawing the comparison of him to Larry Bird. I wanted to get your take on that. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, Dirk's had a tremendous career, and, you know, you can make the comparisons to any great player. And, of course, you know, he's always been compared to Bird. And, you know, what I think the thing that's happened with Dirk in these playoffs, and I know that you and I have talked about this before, Alyssa, is that we're talking about a Hall of Fame caliber player who's so hungry and determined and driven and focused on winning a championship. And that's making special things possible. He realizes that it's his time to shine, that he is the leader of this team, that he's the guy that's got to step up. And look, it's not all on his shoulders, of course. Basketball is a team game. But he knows that he's got to step up and make a lot of plays down the stretch for them to be able to win these close games. And he has it backed away from that responsibility. He wants the ball in these situations. He's willing to take the big shots. He's out there doing every other possible thing he can besides shot making, the tough rebound, the pass when he gets double teamed, like the kid for the three in game four, the defensive play that he had against Eric Manner late in game five, where he forced him into an air ball that resulted in Collison getting the rebound,
yes,
Getting it in, but Dallas coming away with a loose ball and getting a basket because of it. So it's just, it's a sign of a great player that he knows that he's got to do everything, every aspect of his game, every bit of his veteran savvy. He can rely upon it late in games for the plays that you got to make to be able to win games. And Dirk's doing that and you know, just indicative of his high basketball IQ, which is obviously something that Bird had as well. So it's a great comparison to any great player for Dirk, to be mentioned in that breath. And, you know, I know that that I think Larry Legend sent Bird a nice text message after Dirk passed him.
Really?
On the all-time scoring list earlier this year for 25th in league history in points scored. So I know that Larry Legend is a great admirer and respects Dirk's game, and obviously that's got to be great for Dirk to know that somebody like that's in your corner.
Absolutely. Mark Folliwell breaking it all down for us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And of course, Mark, you were up in Oklahoma City earlier in the week, and I wanted to get your take. I mean, you were there. You were at game four. You saw that 40-point performance from Dirk Nowitzki, 12 points in the final, 434. And I just think he made unbelievable shots. I have tremendous respect for Nick Collison. I mean, just a great interior defender. I mean, he provides that body-on-body contact. You know, he tags the cutter, and he's a seven-year veteran. But, I mean, Dirk just stripped him down.
Well, you know, it was a nice trip up there to Oklahoma City. I didn't make it by the Lloyd Noble Center, unfortunately, to see the Alyssa Walker Campbell Hall of Fame. I'm sorry that I missed out on that part of my trip up to Oklahoma. But
that'll be next year.
That's my summer vacation.
Okay.
No, you know, it was two great games up there, and you know, to answer your question, look, Nick Collison's a savvy veteran, and you know, he knows how to push the envelope and push the limits of what he can get away with and step over that line in some places. And hey, look, that's being a great defender and a smart player, and there's nothing in the world wrong with that. But at the end of game four, look, Dirk was on a mission at that point, and we're talking about four straight shots that he made, one of them being a three, but a couple of those were just ridiculous. The signature moment of that comeback to me will be pump-faking Collison on the left baseline, drawing the contact, no whistle, Dirk double-clutching, probably thinking he's going to get the whistle, doesn't get it, but still puts a shot up to the rim, and miraculously the thing goes in. And you know, that's been something that Dirk has done so much over the years, is he can take contact, he can shoot at what looks like an odd angle, but that guy hits more and-one jump shots than anybody I've ever seen. So that was sort of an and-one jump shot that didn't get called, but you know, we have seen things like that before, where Dirk just has a knack for still somehow managing to get a shot up towards the rim that, because of his length and because of his size, he's still going to get a more decent look than a smaller player would, and he gets them to go in. And it just, anyway, it was a great performance to step to the line and make those clutch free throws with 6.4 seconds left in regulation. But then, look, you know, I said earlier, he's making a play that he's got to make to win the game, and then in a critical situation at the end, he makes the smart basketball play and kicks it to Kidd in the corner. Had the confidence in his teammate, and Kidd drills the three that gave him the lead for good there in the last, I think it was 40 seconds to go in overtime. It was a great performance by Dirk, just one of many in this run.
It was sensational, no doubt about it. And you also got to give credit just to his teammates. I mean, they really recognize, they get it. They understand he is the man. He needs the ball in those critical situations when the clock's winding down.
They do understand that, but they know that he's got trust in them. And that's a big, big part of it, is to trust your teammates. And Kidd used that term and talked about that the other night, and that's why he knew that there was a chance Dirk would get doubled. He needed to be in the corner, be ready to get a pass and shoot the ball, and he was there. And, you know, the same for Peja, who got a pass from Dirk for a big basket late in Game 3 of the Lakers series. You know, Jason Terry and Dirk have worked together for so many two-man plays late in games over the course of the last 7 years together. So the team realizes that that things need to go through Dirk, but they also know they've got to be ready to step up and help him receive a pass, set a screen, be a decoy, whatever the case may be. You know, they're all there pitching in and doing their part to be the supporting cast and the complementary players around Dirk. And I think because they're veterans, because they want to win a ring so badly, you've got all these people accepting of their role, and just, you know, the pieces of the puzzle are fitting great around him.
Okay, one of the complimentary players that was certainly at the forefront in Game 5 was Super Sean Marion. 26 points, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 3 assists. To me, the offensive X factor. Break it down for us, because he really executed on both ends of the floor. I was probably more impressed with the defensive effort that he did on KD.
Well, he was great defensively throughout the series. You know, they need his length, they need his athleticism. Another veteran who's savvy and is able to read some situations and play some passing lanes. Hands and feet are still very quick, so that, of course, is key to being a good defender. Game 5, thought he was tremendously active on both ends of the floor. His activity meant that he was getting rebounds. Because of that, he was drawing fouls. He ended up shooting 7 free throws, making 6 in Game 5 of the series. Did a good job of finishing most of his opportunities around the rim. Missed a couple of layups, but, you know, you're not going to make them all. But he ended up going 10 out of 17 for the game. So, you know, it was great to see him have his best game of these playoffs with that particular performance in Game 5. The Mavericks needed it because they struggled to score on in some other situations. Jason Terry didn't have a great second half. You know, Barea was really the only other guy that was a consistent scorer for them in that game with 14 points off the bench. Kidd struggled with his shot. Stevenson struggled with his shot. You know, they got a little bit out of Chandler, but they really, really needed what they got out of Marion. It was key to what they were able to do. Hit some big baskets in the fourth quarter. Hit some free throws in the fourth quarter, of course. And you know, as you said, good defense against Kevin Durant. Made some critical plays defensively. Got to some loose balls, 50-50 balls, as Rick Carlisle likes to say. And was a big X factor in a win.
I always like a surprise, and the pleasant surprise in this series has really been the play of number 33, Brendan Haywood. How he is stepping up to the free throw line with so much confidence. I love the rotation on his shot. And, you know, he's providing those productive minutes and productive possessions.
Well, the thing to me that I'll take away from this series of Brendan Haywood is, look, the free throw numbers were great, 10 out of 14, 71% in the last two games. And the thing about it was, when those free throws came, because they were in situations where he was out on the floor holding down the fort when Tyson Chandler was out of the game due to foul trouble. Tyson got 2 in the first half against Oklahoma City the other night in Game 4, and then in Game 5, Tyson picked up his 4th foul in the third quarter, and so Haywood had to play a lot of key second half minutes. And in both of those situations, I thought he did such a good job of holding down the fort inside, hitting his free throws, a couple of baskets when he was rolling to the hoop, offensive rebounds, a couple of defensive boards, clogging the lane on defense, just did everything that you could ask out of a guy who's your backup center. Now, remember that he's not your typical backup center, because we're talking about someone who's got 10 years of experience, over 600 games, the vast majority of them being starting appearances in his career. But I thought he really, really stepped up and performed well in this series. And I thought he did, for that matter, against the Lakers as well. I thought, and he had some good defense against Portland, against LaMarcus Aldridge. So, you know, throughout the playoffs, even though his numbers aren't eye-popping, and we've talked about his struggles at the free throw line in the past, you know, he has helped this thing. There's just no question that he's been important for them in his role off the bench. And then the free throw shooting has just really added to it over these last couple of games. Looks to me like, from a technical standpoint, keeping his elbow in a little bit closer to his body. You know, you don't want that elbow to flare out on any jump shot or free throw. And form-wise, in my very amateur shot doctor opinion, that's what it looks like. But hey, whatever's working, whatever he's doing, it's working. Keep on doing it, big fella.
Well, and I'm curious, I mean, who is working with him in terms of, you know, helping him get that specific portion of his game together?
Gary Bourne is the Mavericks free throw consultant, you know, a guy that was brought in by Don Nelson years ago, who had been working with Nelly probably all the way dating back to his Golden State days. So that's the guy, and I'm sure that Maverick assistant coaches, you know, everybody is, you know, trying to help out. But the thing about it is, I think when you're in those when you're having those troubles with a particular aspect of your game, and free throws being one of them, I think there is always a danger in getting too many voices in your head. You know, the one thing I'll say is that you can watch him at practice. I've seen it. I've had people tell me about it, and he'll go to the free throw line in practice, and he'll make 45 out of 50. And it really ends up being a case of the yips for him during some game situations. But, be it a higher level of concentration because of the stakes, an adjustment in technique, whatever the case is, like I said, hey, major kudos to him for what he's done the last couple of games. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's never been a great free throw shooter, but what happened this year was certainly out of character. His career low for a season was 06-07 when he shot 54.8%. So to fall off the map like he did this year certainly was not something that you expect to see, but he's answered the bell in the last two games for the Mavs, and they've needed every one of those points on those close wins.
And perfect timing. Brendan Haywood coming through in a very big way. We're going one-on-one with Mark Folliwell, the Mavs television play-by-play voice. He is one of the best in the business. The guy we also have to take time to hit on is Jason Kidd. He is the Mensa man, very high IQ in basketball. And just, I think his approach to the game is very similar to Coach Carlisle. You never see him panic. I mean, he's got terrific composure, and he's just the consummate point guard. He shows you how it needs to be done.
Well, that's basketball IQ speaking. That's 17 years in the league speaking. That's leadership. That's having a feel for knowing how to run a team. I mean, all of those things are on display with Jason Kidd. And, it's big shot making. It's defensive plays. He's so strong. He's able to take the ball away from bigger players.
Right.
And, I just marvel at watching Kidd because he has such a knack for delivering the key play late in games. And he has a feel for knowing what his team needs. And, to touch on something again that we sort of started this interview off with, and that is that, once again, we're talking about a Hall of Fame player. Jason Kidd is a six-time All-NBA selection. He's represented his conference in the All-Star game 10 different times between Dallas, Phoenix, and New Jersey. He's been an All-Defensive selection 9 times. The guy right now is second in league history in assists. He's third in league history in steals. He's third in league history in made three-pointers. I mean, what tremendous accolades that you can run down for Jason Kidd's career. There obviously is no doubt that this guy's the first ballot Hall of Famer. But there's one thing missing, Alyssa, at the championship ring. And I don't think that, I've always thought Kidd's attitude's been great about it. He's mentioned, playing in the same era as Michael Jordan, going up against Shaq one time in the finals, going up against Tim Duncan another time in the finals. And if those were the things that, were going to keep him from winning a championship, he says he knows he's given it his all. He's left it all out there on the floor over the course of his career. And I think that he was realistic, has always been realistic about the things, the other great players that are out there trying and doing their thing that have stood in the way of Kidd accomplishing that last goal of his career and winning a title. But he wants one very badly, don't get me wrong, and so that's why he's played at such a high level in these playoffs. He knows that this may be the last shot at it, and when you got a Hall of Fame player who has, like I said earlier, talking about Dirk, when you got great players like a Kidd too, who have that kind of hunger and determination and focus, special things are possible.
Absolutely.
I'd say this qualifies as special so far, eh?
You are exactly right. Certainly committed to making it happen. As we look ahead, Mark, I mean, obviously the Mavs, they still have some key areas that they need to address. Coach Carlisle has talked about that. What stands out in your mind?
Two things. I think I would like to see them better defensively than what they were in the series against Oklahoma City. With Russell Westbrook and Durant, you had guys who could break down the defense off the dribble. And the penetration inside is something that was a problem for Dallas. It really was a problem in Game 2. It almost cost them Game 5. It happened too much in Game 1 as well. It's just something that's going to be whomever they play in the finals, if it's Miami with LeBron and Dwayne Wade, if it's Chicago with Derrick Rose, those are people who can break down your defense by getting inside. So that's an area of concern that they're going to have to address, I think, is better defense and not letting great players, easier said than done, of course, not letting the great players break you down off the dribble. And I would like to see them rebound the ball better. I was disappointed with how they rebounded in the series against Oklahoma City. I thought that they were really good the first 5 games of the Portland series. They held their own. They weren't great, but they held their own. They didn't get beat too badly on the boards against the Lakers, but there have been some games in this series against Oklahoma City where their rebounding has not been nearly what it needs to be, and so that is going to have to be better. Defensive rebounding in particular that's going to have to be better against whomever they play in the finals, because both of those teams in the East can rebound well.
Absolutely, and I think of Russell Westbrook. I mean, such a terrific rebounding guard in the NBA, and many times I just thought that the Mavs' rebounds were soft. They have got to make sure that they're getting a body and moving them out and be very cognizant of that.
Sure, sure. And then, you know, fortunately for them, they were a +5 in the rebounding in the fateful last 9:49 of Game 4. You know, everybody points to that game where they just got mauled on the boards, but they did turn it around, and that was an instrumental part of them winning the game, and certainly speaks to the importance of it. So that's definitely an area that we'll definitely need to get better.
Mark Folliwell doing some overtime with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We certainly appreciate your time, but we've got to also take care of our affiliate, The Ticket, 1380 AM in Lawton, Oklahoma. I know that a lot of folks are really struggling, you know, with the Thunder's loss. What do you think the future is for them? And I'm sure you're confident that they're only going to continue to get better.
Hey, look, the Thunder played a heck of a series. They were fantastic, Alyssa. And, hey, major kudos to them, major props to them. Love Scott Brooks, you know, a guy who gets it, who had to work hard to have the career that he had in the NBA. And so he understands the importance of hard work and preaches it as a coach. You know, these guys all seem to be young, well-grounded. Of course, they're young. They seem to be well-grounded is what I'm trying to say, and seem to, you know, really get it in terms of how to carry themselves on and off the floor. That's very, very important. Thought their fans were tremendous in the two games at Oklahoma City and in the two regular season games up there, for that matter. So, look, to get to the Western Conference Finals with a team that is that young, that's a great, great accomplishment. So, you know, I think that anybody who is a fan of the Thunder, look, I get the idea of being this far, and then when you come up short, there's a level of disappointment. But I think that you've got to look at the big picture and realize that this is all part of the growing process. Getting to the playoffs last year and putting up a great first-round series against the Lakers helped them grow. And what they experienced this year will obviously help them grow. They will be a better team because of what happened. And look, we already knew about Durant. We already knew about Westbrook. You know, Durant and Westbrook, both good players, still with some areas of their game that have to get better. But I walk away from this series really thinking that the guy who came into his own was James Harden. Just a couple of great games. Games 2 and Game 5 stand out in particular. If he doesn't foul out in Game 4, Oklahoma City probably wins that game. I mean, he probably makes the one shot or the one play that needs to be made late in the game for them to be able to hold off Dallas as well. So I thought Harden's shot-making and playmaking both, his savvy, you know, he looked really, really good in these playoffs, and that's just another great player. That's another important piece to the puzzle for the Thunder. And this definitely is not the last time we have heard the rumble of Thunder. You know, sorry, bad joke, but it's definitely not the last time we've heard it in the Western Conference, for sure.
It certainly will be a border battle. Mark, we certainly appreciate you coming on. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon, and congratulations on your Mavs headed to the finals. We miss you on the telecast. They need to get that change in the offseason.
I will lobby my best. Maybe if the Mavs win a championship, that will give me some more negotiating power. But wish we were doing it, but, you know, it's not about me. And, you know, I'm glad to be part of it and to be along for the ride. And for the people that might be close enough to Dallas-Fort Worth to listen, Chuck Cooperstein does a heck of a job on the radio broadcast. So if you need your Mavs perspective and Mavs bias fix, that's the route to go. He does a great, great job.
Mark, we'll catch up with you again real soon. Thanks for stopping by.
You got it, Alyssa. Take care.
We're going to step aside, and much more straight ahead here in just a moment. Jason Peter will be coming on.